Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyways, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live. We discuss a variety of topics and always enjoy interacting with our listeners. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now here's your host, John Maxwell, certified speaker, 25 plus years, master trainer and coach, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I'm Donna. Today is Sunday, May 22nd, 2022, and we are broadcasting live from the lovely, warm, summer-like city of Atlanta. We are going to continue our parenting series this evening, and I certainly hope you will stay tuned for that. Well, listen, since the name of our show is What is Etiquette Anyway, I always like to use the proper etiquette to answer that question, especially for the new listeners who may be listening for the first time. And by the way, welcome. Etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket, and it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, who we have to thank for this is Charles I and II of England, because they copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and you know what? These rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So, you know, kudos. You know, let's send some kudos out to Charles I and II. So glad he did that. And I tell you, we need this now. It seems more than ever, you know? So anyway, hey, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we are certainly going to discuss mental health, and especially when it comes to our youth, okay, when it comes to our youth. Now, last week, we talked about mothers. In fact, I want to bring on my co-host this evening, Nina, and of course, Minister Nina was with us on last week with this discussion. And hi, Nina, how are you?
Good evening, Miss Donna. Hi, everybody. I hope everyone is having a beautiful Sunday and able to at least relax before this week coming up.
I know, right? Yeah. So listen, hope you've had a great week, and I know just if you can just give us a quick recap, Nina, of last week for those who may be joining us for the first time or those who just simply did not have an opportunity to listen on last week, just to kind of do a quick recap. I know our concentration was mainly we talked about moms and, you know, the role of the mother, and sometimes, you know, just a variety of roles, of course. So if you want to just kind of give us a quick summary of the show last week, we're going to go ahead and then we'll go ahead and bring on our therapist, Dawana, so we can just jump right into this conversation.
Oh, I definitely enjoyed last week's conversation about motherhood. I'm very passionate, you know, that, of course, when it comes to motherhood and the role and the responsibility that God blesses us with when he gives us the gift to be called a mother. from any child, actually. You know, of course, being a mother doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a biological mother. You could be a spiritual mother, spiritual guider to, you know, anyone. But we did. We embraced talking about how we have to make sure that at this point in time, with the way the world is being shaped and what we're seeing, we need to definitely tap into that role and those titles of being a mother, making sure that we are, for one, communicating with our children to the best of our ability, to the best of their ability. And if we do not know how to communicate with our children, then that's when we should be seeking some type of guidance. But we are gifted to be able to even say that we have children that need our guidance. And so making sure that we're taking that time to forget what the world has going on, put down, you know, those laptops and turn off the games, put down the cell phones, sometimes you have to put work aside to make sure that we are rearing these children the way that we are to be rearing them in Christ, to make sure that we are teaching those, of course, that come after us, the Word of God, and ensuring that we are really focusing on the product that we are creating. Because at the end of the day, our children can be mere reflections of what we see when we look in the mirror. They can mirror that image. And so we definitely want to make sure we're mirroring ourselves as women of God and mothers of God, and understanding that our children are going to be following our steps, you know, right behind us. So I definitely enjoyed last week's conversation, and I'm excited to learn even more this week.
Absolutely. Great recap. And, of course, you know, the main reason we wanted to discuss this, you know, this now, of course, we know that we're talking about mental health, is because all of the violence that has been taking place around the country and, you know, numerous perpetrators are youth. And, you know, from shootings to stabbings to rage to just overall negative behavior, what is really going on? And, of course, the person that we are going to go to, she is definitely no stranger to our show. I look at her as one of our resident therapists. She is certainly going to help shed some light on some of this behavior. And, of course, you know, she has been quite busy as well, which is a good thing. And so I want to bring on our therapist, Dawana Swift. Dawana, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday to you. I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. It's always, you know, just a wonderful time when you come because you, you know, share so much wonderful information. And I know that not only do you work with youth, but you work with, you know, entire families. And in fact, I'm just going to let you just take a couple of minutes and you can bring us all up to speed on what all you're doing currently.
Okay. Well, I have a private practice, and I'm located in Decatur, Georgia, and the practice is called Compassion Fosters Change Counseling Services, and I see children, teenagers, adults, and families, and I provide therapy services. So I provide family therapy as well as individual therapy, and I am just passionate about seeing kids and families and helping families to improve their communication with each other and helping children to be the best that they can be and overcome as many challenges as they can to become productive citizens in society.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know we talked a little bit last week about oftentimes if you follow a child, you know, home, you can pretty much see where they're getting, you know, the majority of their behavior. I know you used to call it back in the day, apples don't fall far from the tree. They may roll out just a little bit, but they don't go far. So with that said, meaning that, you know, a lot of times the behavior is behavior that they may be demonstrating is behavior that they may be seeing first and foremost, you know, within the home. And because we know that these incidents, you know, they occur and it doesn't just appear, you know, out of nowhere. And oftentimes, too, some of the behavior, and whether it's, you know, negative or positive, sometimes it's been brewing for some time. And I know that you and I had talked a little bit about this and how oftentimes this behavior can start as, you know, a preschool age, if you will. And so talk about that, if you would. And just, you know, I mean, it's just so realistic. And sometimes we, you know, may think that the child is acting out, you know, or maybe they're spoiled or something like that. But many times it could be something a little more involved than that, right? So if you would just kind of start there, maybe some signs or some signals you may see if you have a child that, say, maybe in preschool and daycare that is acting out.
Yes. Well, children who are in pre-K, they exhibit some symptoms as well, you know, so, and those symptoms can include the kids not following directions. They could be wetting the bed a lot. It could be using bad language, foul language, and that comes from, you know, their surroundings. And like you said, sometimes the apple doesn't fall from the tree, so it's, you know, they're getting some of these behaviors from their parents, specifically when they are in pre-K, because those are the only people they usually see, their family members. So as they get older, kids exhibit some other symptoms. They may exhibit some of those same symptoms, too, as, you know, the fault not following directions and wetting the bed as well. But they may also have some signs of isolating themselves. Teenagers may isolate themselves. Their grades may drop. So all of these things can indicate that your child may need to see a therapist because you don't want things to get worse. So whenever you see those things happening, you should bring your child in at least just to talk to someone, and then they can do an assessment. The counselor can do an assessment, and they can lead you further and let you know what's going on.
And you know what? Nowadays, it seems as though mental health is getting more attention, you know, where in the past it seemed like it was a little more, you know, taboo, or there was a stigma associated with it. So, you know, and I think now, too, it can also be referred to as mental wellness, right?
Yes, yes. We do want to promote mental wellness for everyone.
Yeah,
and with mental wellness, that can include you doing things to take care of yourself, talking your problems out. You know, you can do things like talking to your friends, talking to a counselor, talking to those who are you trust. We always say talk to a trusted person. If there's a trusted spiritual person or someone from your church or mentor, someone that you trust and you feel like you can confide in. And then, you know, you can also take your child to see a counselor. And they have to build rapport with that counselor. But it can happen over time. And then your child feels comfortable explaining and expressing themselves a lot more.
Yes. So that is very important. I did want to I've got a couple of messages here. I do want to read one, and it says, Ms. Donna, thanks for taking the time to address mental health surrounding children. Please ask your guest if she would identify some signs parents can look for to see in their children to see if they may need counseling. counseling? And if so, is it okay for parents to actually interview the counselors to see if they would be a great match? Thank you.
Oh, yes.
And I'll
go back over some of those signs. And those are, I would say, not following directions. If your kid's not following directions a lot, you know, sometimes it may take a while for them to do what you ask. You may have to repeat yourself a couple of times. But if it's happening all the time and it's in the home environment and in school, then that can be an issue. And that could mean that you should take your child to see a counselor. Some other signs are if they're fighting, if they're hitting people, and that's happening all the time. They're hitting people often at school and fighting at school. That can be a sign. As I said before, bedwetting, that can be a sign. You know, sometimes kids may wet the bed a little bit, but then it usually goes away. But if it's constant and they're constantly wetting the bed, that could be a sign. Isolating themselves, just teenagers may want to stay in their room often and just not come out. I had a young lady who was staying in her room a lot, and she would just sit in there. And this was during the pandemic, and she would just sit in there and be in there. Her mom said it would be dark, and she'd have the lights off, and she's supposed to be doing her work. But it ended up that she was failing. And so that's another sign, failing your grades. You know, your grades are dropping. So her mother brought her in to see me. And so we discussed a plan for getting her outside and getting out and walking. And so this was during the pandemic. And so they started walking together, the whole family. And that really helped. And she was able to get out and interact more with other people. Because isolating yourself, that can bring a lot of trouble, especially if you're isolating yourself and you're just on the phone or on the internet all the time. So try to make sure you get your kid out of their rooms and they can interact with you and do different activities. They can go outside, you all sit at the table, the dinner table maybe, and talk some. But all those things can help them to just to express themselves more and to interact with others. You want them to, you know, engage in physical activity. So another sign could be changing in their normal behavior. Any change in a kid's normal behavior can be a sign that something's wrong. When you know your child the best. Parents know their child the best. So when your child is behaving differently from how they were behaving, you know, a month ago, that can be a sign that something is wrong. So you need to, if your child is not talking to you, you can take them to a counselor. Another sign could be having nightmares. For the little ones, they may have nightmares a lot. Older ones may have nightmares too. So if it's not just from, you know, they're watching scary movies or something, and they they haven't watched any, then nightmares could be a sign that there's a problem. As I said before, the grades dropping, and then they're stealing. If you have kids that may be stealing a lot, that is definitely a sign that something's going on. So all of these things should let you know that your child may need to be in counseling. And, yes, you can talk to the counselor over the phone. A lot of clinicians do give you consultations. I give consultations, so my consultations are free, and we can just go over. You can go over what's going on with your kid and what you think is going on, and then we can make a plan if you want to schedule an appointment for an assessment, and the kid can come in, and then I would do the assessment, and then we could go from there with determining the treatment plan goals that I recommend and what you agree upon, and you can add to that. So, again, a lot of counselors do give free consultations, so you can do that before you actually go in to take your child to see the therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, it's always, you know, if you want to make sure that you're actually going to be a great fit, you know, for each other as well. So, and I know that now, you know, given over the last couple of years, it's also, you know, you also do virtual visits, right?
Correct. Yes, we do virtual therapy as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I just wanted to ask that for the simple fact that we do have listeners that are in different states. So in case, of course, we want to, you know, certainly by the conclusion of the show this evening, we want to make sure that parents are feeling comfortable. And you know what? I do want to say this. It does not matter how, you know, smart or intelligent a kid is. And I'll tell you why I said that. I had a parent reach out to me. This was probably midstream of the pandemic. And I had actually both of his children in one of my programs, and it was probably like 4-5 years ago or longer. And he just reached out to me, and he asked me if I knew of anybody that can kind of come in and monitor the virtual school and so on and so forth. And I was thinking to myself, I said, well, wait a minute. I said, if I'm thinking correctly, I mean, one of his daughters is in high school and the other's in middle school. So I was kind of thrown a little bit because I wasn't quite sure, right? I'm thinking, you know, it's not like one is in elementary school. I would think they would can kind of be able to do that. The high schooler and the middle schooler could, you know, pretty much monitor themselves with their work, because I knew they were very, very bright girls. And so when I dug a little further, because I said, you know, I was kind of shocked. I was like, And I said, well, you know, are they doing okay? So he was telling me about the middle school girl, which I had her in one of my programs when she was in kindergarten. And she was just smart as a whip, right? Well, he just told me. He said, you know, she's going through a lot of depression. I mean, it's really bad. And, you know, we have her in counseling, I think, like three days a week. And, you know, we just need someone, you know, to be with her to just kind of monitor what's going on. So then I kind of understood, because my first thought was, wow, you know, she, you know, they both were just so smart. But when he told me, he said she basically had a breakdown. And of course, these were children that were, you know, in a lot of different social, you know, after school social activities, right? And so for them to have no kind of socialization at all, period, you know, during the pandemic, yeah, I mean, you know, some kids could take it, some could not, you know, some adults, you know, you had how many adults, you know, would you say that, you know, had breakdowns or are very challenging? I mean, when you can't interact with people, especially when that's something that you're used to doing and most people thrive from doing that, then, you know, that is quite challenging. And
Yeah, you're correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just wanted to kind of throw that out there, because it doesn't have anything to do with how bright they are. And so, so again, you know, not using that as a barrier, you know, thinking, well, that can't be it because she's so smart. Well, no, that has nothing, you know, to do with it, right? It's an emotional thing, right?
Exactly. You're exactly right, because I have had kids who have come in and they were experiencing anxiety. They were experiencing anxiety during the pandemic, being isolated, you know, not being able to socialize with their peers. And some kids who were just feeling like there was just a lot of pressure. They feel like the teachers were giving them a lot of work, just an overload of work. And so those kids were under a lot of pressure. Some kids were taking lots of AP classes. So we had to work with them on just creating a plan to balance their schedule and, you know, have some study time, but also some time breaks. They had to take a lot of breaks during this because, you know, when you're in school, you kind of get a break when you're walking to class or you see your friends in the hallway or you're going to lunch. But you have to remind yourself to take your breaks when you are online, you're doing online school. And then I had some kids who were just not doing their work at all, and the parents were not supervising them. So, yes, the parents do have to supervise their kids. There are some kids who are able to do it on their own, and they will, you know, create a plan for doing their homework. But some kids, the parents do have to monitor them. I had one kid who, she had to work, so she had her sister, who's working from home, monitor her son. And so, a lot of parents did have to have someone monitor their kids while doing their work, because otherwise some of these kids, they were failing. They were actually failing
sure.
their classes because they would just sit on the internet, and some of them were just playing video games all day. And so the parents had to be there to monitor them. I had another kid who she had to go to her grandmother's house to so she could be monitored by her grandmother because she had failed her classes. So, and then once they were monitored, their grades went back up. So that is very important that you have someone to monitor them. And if you can't find someone to monitor them and make sure that they're doing their work, you know, if your kid is still doing online, you can just come home and check the work, make sure that, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do. Or you can just follow up with the teachers whenever you can to check on their grades, just to make sure that it's what it should be, and if they don't have missing assignments and things like that. But you also have to do that when they're in, you know, regular school, in-person school. You know, you have to follow up. Kids will try to circumvent the rules sometimes. So you want to follow up to make sure they're doing the schoolwork and doing what they're supposed to do.
Absolutely. And, of course, you know, they were just all of this was thrust upon them, you know. Who knew that they would actually have to do virtual learning? The majority of them were not prepared. No one was prepared. Teachers weren't prepared. Parents weren't prepared. So it's just been a whole lot. But you know what? I always say that, you know, I try to find the silver lining in the cloud. So I believe that with a lot of the students going through this, it will make a greater impact on them, and they'll do much better, especially if they begin taking online classes, you know, for college or whatever. They'll be pretty much familiar with it, maybe not in a way that they wanted to be because it was thrust upon them. We're going to take a quick break, and I see you guys on the line. Thank you so much for your patience. We are going to take a quick break, and we are going to be coming right back. And we'll still certainly invite you to join the conversation. And the number is 516-418-5894, 516-418-5894. We're having a wonderful conversation. We're talking about how we can help our youth and recognizing some signs of behavior to try to determine whether or not they need, you know, maybe to see a counselor or if they need to see a therapist, okay? We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
According to the American Diabetes Association, the strongest evidence for diabetes prevention comes from the Diabetes Prevention Program, or DPP, demonstrated that an intensive lifestyle intervention could reduce the incidence of type 2 diabetes by 58% over 3 years. Do you have youth who will be entering college or the workplace for the first time? Are they a little nervous about the process of interviewing? Coaching with Ms. Donna will help to calm their fears and build their confidence. They will learn both verbal and nonverbal presentation skills needed to impress the interviewer or college recruiter. Quick, go to MsDonnaSpeaks.com to set up a free discovery session. That's MsDonnaSpeaks.com. Click Coaching and then Contact to complete the Let's Work Together contact form and hit Submit. Ms. Donna is looking forward to hearing from you. Again, go to MsDonnaSpeaks.com, Coaching, Contact, and complete the form for your free discovery call. Ms. Donna is empowering you to communicate comfortably and confidently in any setting.
Hello, everyone. Do you want to be inspired and encouraged? Listen up. I want to tell you about a new and exciting book called My Forever Affirmations Book and Journal, Positive Thoughts for All Ages by Donna Paige Riley. Have you or someone you know ever struggled with low self-esteem or self-worth? Been bullied? Felt like giving up on something that seems too hard to accomplish? Get nervous about taking a test for school? Feel like quitting? Feel self-conscious? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you will want to purchase a copy of My Forever Affirmations book and journal. My Forever Affirmations is a book and journal of quick, to the point, powerful, encouraging, positive thoughts and poems that will keep you encouraged no matter your age or what you're facing. There's also room to write your personal thoughts. We all need to be encouraged in positive ways, don't we? After reciting these affirmations, you are sure to feel good or better about yourself. You will be encouraged. Hurry, order now. Copies are limited. Go to www.amazon.com. Type in My Forever Affirmations by Donna Paige Riley. Again, go to www.amazon.com. Type in My Forever Affirmations by Donna Paige Riley and secure your copies. You'll be so glad you did.
Welcome to ProMixGlobal.com. ProMix Global will help solve your audio recording and production needs, whether it's song recording, mixing and mastering, CDs, commercials, IVRs, audiobooks, or general voiceovers. ProMix Global is the choice for you. Your project will be delivered on time and on budget. For additional information or to schedule your studio time, go to www.promixglobal.com. Once again, www.promixglobal.com. Do you want your children to be respectful and kind to others? Do you want to foster positive relationships, gain the skills to manage traumatic experiences, or just learn helpful ways to manage the stresses of everyday life? If you do, contact Awana Swift at CompassionFostersChange@yahoo.com. CompassionFostersChange@yahoo.com. At Compassion Fosters Change Counseling Services, you will experience a listening ear and gain the skills and insight to manage problems on your own. Counseling services are provided for children, adults, and families. For a consultation or to make an appointment, go to CompassionFostersChange@yahoo.com. 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 At Compassion Fosters Change Counseling Services, you and your family will receive the support needed to foster more happiness in life. Compassion Fosters Change Counseling Services. This commercial was produced by MsDonnaSpeaks.com, MsDonnaSpeaks.com.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. You may join the conversation by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to MsDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back, and I thank you all for joining us. Just in case you may have joined us a little late, no worries. You will be able to go back and listen to the show in its entirety. We're having a conversation. We're talking about our youth and behaviors, and I know we've been talking quite a bit about the younger children. I have a therapist on, Dawana Swift, Compassion Fosters Counseling Service, and she's been giving us some really good information. Okay, guys, not quite sure what happened, but no worries, we will continue. So, listen, we are talking about identifying such behaviors from our children and youth, and I do want to go ahead and go to, because I'm sure Nina is probably has something that she wants to ask or a question she wants to ask. We're going to start picking up callers. I'm going to give her a quick second just to check back in with the co-host, Minister Nina there. Hello.
Hey, yes. I am enjoying this conversation. I completely agree with a lot of the advice that was given, especially the one with ensuring that when we are with our children and spending time with them, really making sure that we are present, putting the phones down, turning off the TV. A lot of times I have seen mothers on their phone, in their phone, and their children are asking them questions. I believe that that is what causes the gap in communication is when we're not really taking the time to listen, to hear our children. And that begins at a very early stage in life, before they can actually even sometimes like verbally communicate. Children will tend to communicate through their actions. And that requires you to pay attention, to get off the phone and really pay attention to what's going on with your child. So I agree completely with the advice that's been given today.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah, yeah. And we can't be so caught up and bragging about we are multitaskers because we really don't want to do that. Right, Dawana?
Yes, that's correct. Yes,
yeah.
When you're with your children, you need to focus on them and spend that time with them and get to know them, see what things they are doing in school and see what's going on. That's how you're going to build that rapport with your child, especially your teenager, and then they can feel comfortable coming to you and talking to you. And you know, just like you said, when the parents are on the phone all the time, the kids are going to start doing that. And you see the kids already you know, walking around with just looking at their phones and not paying attention to where they're going. They're crossing the street and they're just looking at their phones and not paying attention. So, you know, if the parents are doing that, then the kids are going to do that. So the parents have to be intentional about putting their phones down and spending more time with their kids and making sure that the kids put their phones down as well. And then you just interact and have some fun together and talk and communicate.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I certainly like to say that, you know, what you say, what you do speaks louder than what you say. So if you're doing, you're telling your kids to get off the phone when you're trying to talk to them, and then you're on your phone when they're trying to talk to you, okay, guess what's going to happen? We're going to start picking up some callers, guys. Thank you so much for your patience. Extension, I will identify you by saying the last four digits in your phone number. You'll know that I'm speaking with you. 6004, the last four digits in your telephone number is 6004. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Can you hear me okay?
Hi. I can. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Wonderful.
This is kind of my hut with kids having problems. I have a problem with how can a kid 16 years old, be so angry that they kill a group of people. But I watched the kid from playgroup with my grandson, who by kindergarten, no, by preschool, they rode the same school bus. He would take his seatbelt off, hit the other children, and he almost got kicked off the bus. Preschool, he was going around breaking kids' crayons and just all totally disruptive. Even fourth grade, he was still being sent to the principal's office. But his mom, though, was a nurse. And she was going to school to be a nurse. And from that, she, I don't know, had some evaluation. And he was somehow on the autism spectrum scale. Where now I just saw this kid a couple of weeks ago who got an award, who was a member of the Honor Society. And I think that's because mom took interest. And I do think that parents are the kids' role model, just like what your co-host is saying. If you're talking on the phone all the time and they're trying to talk to you, and then you try to talk to them and you want their full attention, I think they're more multitask than the adult is. But I just think we parents put too much responsibility on other people and don't realize that they are the role model. And the other thing your co-host said was, and I think it's pretty sad, is that she said to the parent, you know, take a walk with the child. And that to me is like the government telling us we need to wash our hands. And that to me is what you need to do, is put your phone, even if it's a half an hour, make sure it's that child half an hour, quality time. And I think that's why so many children are doing poorly and just about, well, I'll say lost. That's my comment.
Excellent comment. Absolutely,
you know,
excellent.
I volunteer. I used to volunteer in schools and to see the different things that kids who didn't have any, you could tell they didn't have anything to eat the way the night before because of the way their stomach was. And that's exactly what they did. They got in fights all the time. I had two that I worked with. I don't know what happened to one, but I know what happened to the other. He made it and comes to visit occasionally and with his wife and kids, but they wouldn't work in class, but when they found out I was working for free, they did work for me. So, you know, a little bit of interest too when you're not the parent, if other people take a little bit of interest. I think if your co-hosts agree that that means a lot to the child.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let someone else talk.
That's great, great comments. Dawana, I'm sure you have something that you want to say about that. But, yeah, that's great. I mean, because if kids are, if they don't get attention from you, they act out. They're going to get attention from somebody. And oftentimes, you know, if they can't demonstrate positive behavior, then they're going to demonstrate negative behavior because that is going to get someone's attention. Correct, Dawana?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. And like you said, if they're not getting the attention from you, they're going to get it from their peers and others. And, you know, sometimes the peers are not the best role models, and they can end up engaging in negative behaviors and in criminal activity. So we want to be good role models. We want to interact with our kids.
And talking about negative behavior, of course, you know, I know everyone has heard about what happened. I can't even say it's the latest incident now because I haven't watched the news today or yesterday. So, and unfortunately, there's been so much in the news that has been happening that's been negative, especially surrounding our youth. Was just so heartbroken when I saw the story about the 18-year-old that, you know, just blatant behavior because it was pre-planned, so it was premeditated. And he shot 13, but 10 died, right? Dawana,
yes.
I know you don't know him. You don't know him, the family, or anything like that. But the concern is, I mean, what can make someone like that, and being so young, I mean, you know, he's a youth, to actually do that and not, you know, my take is not so much of the mind, but also a heart issue as well.
Right.
Just mean and, you know, just demonic behavior, really. But what, I mean, you know, if you were to ask a parent or to ask one of the parents, you know, could they have seen this coming? What do you think I mean, what do you think about that? And I know it's part of it's going to be speculation because you don't know him, but of a situation such as that, and there's so many, you know, that happen. But what are some telltale signs? And that's another reason why you have to spend time with your kids, right? So you can, you know, see,
right.
talk to them, see what's
them.
Going on in their mind. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, right. So, right. And I just did a little bit of reading on it, but I know that some of the peers whom they spoke to, some of his peers in school, they said that he exhibits some bizarre behavior sometimes. So, you know, if you're a parent and you see that your child is isolated and they don't really have too many friends, then you should – that means you should pay more attention to them and you should try to get them to interact or get involved in some positive activities where they can meet people and develop friendships with positive people because he started to follow the things online, which are the hate groups. And like we said, if they're not, if you're not interacting with your child, then they're going to follow things, you know, that they find online that they can identify with or places where they can, you know, express their anger and things that are going on inside of them since nobody else is listening to them. So when you see that your child is isolating themselves and not interacting with others and doesn't have many friends, then that could be a sign to let them see a counselor so that they can talk to a counselor on an ongoing basis. Because I think he was hospitalized because he had made threats about killing people in the past, but he was discharged. He was discharged after a while. And that's what usually happens with some kids. If they do make a threat, they will, if somebody does report it, they will get hospitalized. But then after a while, they'll be discharged when the hospital administrators feel there's not a threat anymore. But, you know, he said that he just said things to get out of the hospital. And sometimes that can happen. Mm-hmm. So ongoing counseling should have been required. And I don't know if that was required or not, but I know that that's what I would have recommended, that there be ongoing counseling. So parents should take them to ongoing counseling if you notice that your children are making threats like that, and that they, and then if they don't have a lot of friends, a friend group, and they're not interacting or getting involved in any activities, in positive activities.
And talking about friends, having contact with friends, you want to make sure you have contact with the friends that they have, because, you know, who are you hanging out with? Who are you communicating with? As well,
right.
that's important as well, right? Yeah, you just
right,
so in
exactly.
other words,
so you
parenting.
Want to make sure that they have positive friends. Yes, you know, that you interact with them, that you get to know their parents, that you can see how these people are interacting and you know what kind of influence they have on your child.
And not to mention monitoring what they are doing online. You know, I've seen kids say, well, you know, that's none of your business. And excuse me, really? No, you have to monitor. And these kids are exposed to so much. And, you know, they have
right.
so many different platforms. So you've got to stay on top of it. I mean, and like we've said, parenting is, you know, pretty much a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. And, you know, you don't necessarily – no training, you know, when you leave and you have your child from the hospital, and I've talked about this before, you know, they don't send you out with a manual of what you need to do, or, you know, it's just a job that you need the least amount of experience to do, you know. You don't really have to meet any type of qualifications for it. So that's another reason why, you know, I believe forums like this are so important, so that we can share this kind of information. And I want to go and see if I can pick up a couple of more callers. And everyone, thank you so much for hanging in here with us. This, you know, it's pretty challenging. Topic, especially when we're talking about violence. But we're going to end the show on a great note, because we're going to talk about a little good news here. I have one, I'm going to talk to you about one of the teenagers, what has happened with him, and I'm going to introduce you to another teenager. So, you know, all youth, we are by no means saying all youth have really a lot of problems and they're being negative, because we're going to talk to a couple that are not. I will again say the last four digits of your phone number. You'll know I'm speaking to you. The last four digits is 9626. 9626, hello.
Yeah, Donna, I'm just listening, okay?
Okay, all right. Thank you so much. All right, so so listen, gosh, yeah, by no means, we just want parents to really try to be as aware as possible of what's going on. I do want to read a couple of messages. One says, Miss Donna, my name is Kelly, and I remember when your guest was on a couple years ago, and she made some suggestions in her presentation about how to communicate with your children. My husband and I took her advice, and it made a huge difference in our family with our kids. Thanks again to Browns in Florida. Well, thank you, Kelly, for certainly sending us that. So wonderful. So they remember Dawana, when you were on before, which is wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful. Another one here says, Miss Donna, I have twin teenagers who are very close. However, one seems happy all the time and the other seems depressed quite a bit. I want to seek counseling but don't want to single out the one that, well, she has the depressed twin. What should I do? So that's for you, Dawana, for sure.
Oh, I think you should definitely have the twin that is depressed seek counseling. She may enjoy it. She may really like it. It sounds like she does need someone to talk to and be able to express her concerns to. So she may really end up liking it. And then she will learn some skills and some coping skills to be able to help herself feel better. So the goal is to help herself feel better so that she can function on her own and not need therapy. So I think it would be good to get her in it. And then, you know, she can, the therapist, well, what I would do would also bring the twin in sometimes for a family session. You can do it that way too. So I would see the twin that is depressed by herself for individual therapy, and then we could also bring in the sister for a family session as well, if the twin would want to do that.
Okay. And we thank you for sending that in. And that's wonderful. So that just tells you, too, because a lot of times people say, well, they're twins. Shouldn't they act just alike or be just alike? That just shows you that, no, twins are, they may look alike, they may be identical, but they have different minds and emotions, right? And they're
correct.
Two different people,
and I'm
right?
Also, right, exactly. And I'm also seeing two different sets of twins. I'm seeing one twin that's a girl twin. I'm not seeing her sister yet. I'm seeing a male twin. And I'm just one of them. So mm-hmm. You can take them in to see a counselor, just one of them, whichever one is having the problem.
Interesting. Very good. Okay, so I want to bring on, I'm so excited to introduce you to a new author, and her name is Hannah. Sabrina was her illustrator, but her name is Hannah. I just want to introduce Hannah to everyone. Hannah, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Sunday to you. And I'm so excited to introduce you. I know that one of your goals was to be a published author by the time you graduated, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And that has happened, right? You graduate on next week, right?
Yes,
and, yeah, so, and you are a published author, and I'm just so excited because with Hannah, I met her and her mother a few months ago, and her mom shared with me that that's what she wanted to do. So we were able to talk. And so we were able to make that happen, to get her book published. And tell everyone the name of your book, Hannah.
It's called Beautifully Imperfect.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully Imperfect. And just kind of summarize what that book is about. It's a wonderful book. So just kind of summarize what it's about.
It's about many different things, mostly about things that I've gone through, and just I use writing as a form of expression to, well, a healthy form of expression to just kind of work through the things that I was going through and things in my community that I've seen other people go through, like racism. And there's different parts of it are about different things, but the majority of it is just my view of the world and my experience with certain people.
And guys, it's a book of it's a book of poetry, and so even though she is a teenager, she's only 17 years of age, but this book is just absolutely amazing. If you've ever dealt with heartbreak or racism or grief, felt unaccepted, it's just a compilation of poems that address those particular topics. And just really proud of her. And I can certainly, you can tell them where they can get a copy of this. Hannah?
It's available on Amazon. You could just search up Beautifully Imperfect, and you'll find it.
Yep, Beautifully Imperfect by Hannah Michelle. And and like she said, you can go to Amazon.com and purchase a copy. And we're talking about readers of all ages. You're going to be able to resonate with something in this book. And again, congratulations, Hannah. Very proud of you. And I know we'll have you on in another show where we'll just kind of talk a little more. I'm going to have a show for us scholars and for youth that are doing some really, really exciting, positive things. So that's how I wanted to end this show tonight. So thanks, Hannah, and you'll be joining us again, and I'll keep you posted on when she'll be coming back, and we'll do a little more in-depth with her, okay? In addition, I also want to talk about someone else who you have been familiar with and has been on this show many times. He has co-hosted a few shows with me, hosted one of the shows, and he's no stranger. His name is Joshua Chapman. He was going to join us, but he has a lot he's working on. He's a senior, and so he only has one more week, so he has some major projects he has to conclude. But I do want to let you know, I'm so excited for him. He accepted and was awarded a $7,500 scholarship for flight school, where he will receive ground school and in-flight training this summer to meet prerequisites required to obtain his private pilot's license. And it's a 3-month program, which will begin on June 1st. And this will take place at the Indianapolis International Airport. So I want to salute him as well. So certainly wanted to end our show with some positive news, some exciting news about our youth, because youth are certainly, a lot of times they, we only hear about some of the negative things that are taking place, but I wanted to make sure that I certainly shed some light on the two of them. And we'll have him on. He'll be coming on at a later time as well. And so, but listen, we are going to conclude here. If you are streaming live, you're going to lose us probably in about 45 seconds. But I do want to have Dawana, if you would, just give us some final thoughts, if you will.
Well, I want to say, Jill, don't be afraid to bring your children to counseling. We're here to support the family and bring them together and make the family function as a positive unit. So You can bring your children, you know, to have individual sessions. You can come in yourself. You can also come in as a family, and we can work on, you know, solving the problems and overcoming the challenges together. So don't be afraid to do that.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I'm going to go back to my co-host, Nina, and see if she has some thoughts that she wants to end with. Nina, are you there?
Yes, hi. Yes, I just want to say, you guys, you know, as mothers, as parents, there is no perfect way to be a mom. There's no perfect parenting guide out there that's really going to make it seem as if this task of being a mother is easy, because it's not. It's rewarding, though. And that's just what we have to remember, is that everything that we do as far as pouring into our children, it's to help make this space, this lifetime that we're living in, it's the goal is to make it better for the ones that are under us. So, again, do not feel the pressure like you have to be perfect. You know, all we have to do is reach out when we need help. Definitely try to educate ourselves on, you know, what are some ways that we can even help our children with their struggles, because sometimes we don't even know how to help our children because maybe we've never gone through some of the circumstances or situations that they experience in this time, especially with social media. So just don't be afraid to, of course, dig a little deeper and reach out and just really keep those lines of communication open.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, because, you know, as you said, I mean, we there's no perfect way to do it. I mean, if there is, no one hasn't, you know, they haven't found it yet. So, so I'm hoping that if you heard something that was helpful to you or that you believe will help someone else, certainly share this show with them. And if you would follow this show, I have to remember to ask you to do that. But certainly share the information, because once again, we're all learning in this, and you never really learn everything. You know, you just don't, because parenting, it most of the time it's you learn as you go, right? So we can try to read up on some books and just, really be able to encourage, our kids. But you know what we also have to do, what's so important too, is it is essential that we encourage ourselves as well as parents. And I'm glad Nina said that, there's no perfect, parent. Parents are not perfect. They're absolutely not perfect. And so, we have to encourage ourselves, and it's a little easier to encourage our children if we have been encouraged as well. You understand what I'm saying? It's very, very important. And I usually, say when I close, to feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and be the best you can be. But it's kind of hard that if you're not feeling as good about yourself, then oftentimes you're not as considerate, as you could be to other people. And then if you're not, then you're really not being the best you can be. And I do want to emphasize the best you, okay, because we will never be the best someone else, all right? Again, I want to say thanks again to Dawana, Compassion Fosters Change Counseling Service. And certainly want to say thanks again to Nina for always being there to co-host with the great information, great ideas she has. Her company is A Spot for Moms as well. And thank you guys for listening, taking time out of your Sunday evening to just spend a little time with us. Those who send us messages, if you join us for the first time, I certainly do want to say, thank you for joining the What is Etiquette Anyway family. And, of course, thank you so much for our loyal listeners who tune in each time we are on. We're so glad that you are a part of the What is Etiquette Anyway family. Remember, if you have an etiquette question or if you have a topic that you would like to hear us cover in the future, please be sure to let us know, okay? We appreciate it when you certainly tell your friends and family about our show and invite them to listen. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, and we know we can only do that one person at a time. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And as always, please make sure you initiate a random act of kindness this week. And actually, I think you can certainly initiate an act of kindness daily. Okay, so please do that. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. We will speak again next week. And good night. Take care. And listen, if you haven't already, make sure Tuesday you go out and vote. It is very, very serious. Make sure if you have not voted early, be sure to go out and vote on this Tuesday, okay? Again, good night, take care, and God bless.
Thanks for listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we will discuss another exciting topic.